Intervju Radija Študent.
V današnjem RŠ intervjuju bomo poslušali telefonski pogovor, ki smo ga opravili z enim izmed članov tokijskega kolektiva Kikagaku Mojo, ki bo v sredo 14. avgusta stopil na oder dvorane Komuna v ljubljanskem kinu Šiška. Zvok tega japonskega kolektiva krasi mešanica psihedeličnega roka, improvizacije, tradicionalne glasbe in neskončnega rifovja. Prisluhnimo.
Cool, it's recording, so we can begin. You've been on a tour for a while now. Do you play at the same venues you played at the last tour, or are the shows getting bigger with every tour?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, getting bigger.
Because I saw that you do the most extensive tours in Europe and North America, and I read in an interview where you were talking about how difficult it is, especially for, new alternative bands to play live in Japan. Does it get easier now? Let's say in the last year? Or
for us or you in general?
No, for you.
For us, it became, I think, still not that easy because we haven't played in Japan for 2 years almost.
Oh.
But this fall we're gonna play for the first time in 2 years, so we are excited.
You know, the reason why I ask this is because from our perception, a friend of mine did a show on psychedelic rock music from Japan, I don't know, about 10 years ago, and he played like 20 or 30 interesting bands, and that's only a small part of it. So it seems to us that this kind of music is really popular in Japan. So is this just our perceptions, or do you have like a psychedelic rock scene?
Not so much scene there. So there are music that is popular in Japan domestically, and there are the bands from Japan that they more popular outside of Japan, like us.
You mean particularly bands that play this type of psychedelic music or other types?
No, this psychedelic rock music doesn't get popular in Japan.
No, you don't have an audience.
No.
Because there's so many psychedelic rock bands, you know, that it would seem kind of natural to have an audience.
Yeah, it's small. It's very, much compared to Europe, it's much smaller.
Well, that's interesting. What do you think, why then there is so many bands that play this type of music, you know, Japanese bands that play psychedelic rock?
It's just the psychedelic rock, if you want to play like psychedelic music, it's disco for us to play only in Japan. So that's why this music needs to get out. So we have bands from other mothers, like Ghost, and those bands are not as big, you know, inside of in Japan compared to outside of Japan. So we have different music, and then some kind of music can be successful in only one domestically, and then one like more internationally. And then it's just, depends on the genre.
What about psychedelic music appeals to you the most?
I like the freeness of the genre, which it's not about the technique, it's not about the, you know, attitude, or it's not about the, it's more about the mind, how you can free the mindset, you know, and then that allows us to give like different perspectives in the music. So it doesn't need to have like, oh, like rock band, and then we have to have like big guitar amps and stuff like that. We can also play like acoustic, we can add like hip hop or beats, or we can put like an experimental side or jazz side, and still we can call like a psychedelic. It's just about more kind of like how you can open mind.
You know, because this type of music has a long tradition in Japan. It goes back to 60s and 70s. And I was wondering, when you were getting into this type of music, were you more into the domestic Japanese bands, or did you look into, I don't know, Europe or krautrock bands like Ken and stuff like that?
Yeah, both.
Both.
I like the time of the era in general. So I like both domestic, like Japanese stuff, and then also American or, yeah, outside of Japan stuff.
How did you get into this type of music? Did you listen, did your parents listen to much of this type of music?
Because not this type of music particular, but when I discovered it, it felt like we can do this. You know, when I first listened to like 60s bands, like they were like sometimes like not really like tuned, mm-hmm. and then sometimes like very sloppy, like, you know, drumming goes faster and then it's like not so good. But then we thought, oh, this is like something like you could do, and that's good thing about like kind of like psychedelic, the bands that I first listened like psychedelic, the current one is like Uden Ships.
Uh-huh.
And like when I listened, like I thought, oh, maybe we can do this, because it's just like one riff,
right,
you know, and the same rhythm, and then but it's like really really good. Uh-huh. And that feeling is I really like. Yeah.
You know, your brother is also in the band. So I was wondering, did you listen to the same music when you were growing up?
No, I don't think so. We have some like similarity because we just grew up in the same country, same city. But so which is like kind of like a Japanese stuff that whatever the TV or the friends are like listening to, and then like we. So not much common, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you find more common ground later on? Do you listen to similar music nowadays?
Not really.
Interesting. You know, you co-founded Kigaku Moyo with Tomo, I think it was in late 2012 or 2013.
Yeah.
Did you always have ambition to form a band?
No.
Uh-huh.
It was just like, oh, like it seems fun.
Uh-huh.
And then I wanted to play drums, but I never played drums before. So I was like, hey, Tomo, let's play band. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
I think you played bass guitar before that, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you were in other bands before Kigaku?
Yeah, Kikakumo. Just like 1 year, yeah.
Uh-huh. What type of music did you play with that band?
It was kind of like instrumental, kind of like heavier, proggy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, kind of like uh-huh. post-rock, math rock, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. When you decided to form Kigaku Moyo, you know, with mm-hmm. Tomo, did you have like a clear idea what type of music do you want to make, or did the things sort of come to
you? We wanted to, kind of like, the clear image is like something, it's like free music. We thought like, oh, like, we should just play, just like jam, and then with anyone. We wanted to have like the people who never played music before. So kind of like bunch of beginners trying to figuring out something out of it and trying. And that's the same thing that we wanted to like make.
Uh-huh.
So kind of like, yeah, just like friends getting together and just like making music.
Right. You know, it seems that you worked out quite quickly on what you want to do, because you put your first album out, I think, the next year already. So it didn't take mm-hmm. that long to really come up with interesting stuff. You know, playing live seems to be kind of the central focus for your band. And I was wondering mm-hmm. how important or how much attention do you put into, or energy and time do you put into making records?
Time-wise?
Yeah, time, energy, how much the recording process is important for your band?
Recording process is not so important.
Uh-huh.
It's just we have like a pile of ideas that we want to do for like next release. Because uh-huh. if you are like touring and playing same songs, I want to play different songs. And then we need to make the songs.
Uh-huh.
And then that's like kind of like different fun, but I think live takes lots of our like energy and concentration like on tour. Mm-hmm. And especially we are playing improvisation like every day, like a, and during the kind of try to like come up with jam. So that kind of like takes lots of energy. And when we are on tour, we cannot really write songs.
You know, saying that you play different versions of your songs or jamming, improvising. You know, the promoter here for your gig said that your music will probably appeal to the fans of Acid Mother's Temple. And they were known for putting out even live records, you know, constantly. Why don't you do that? Why are you, you know, you think that's just for the live audience, or do you want to make...
I think live recording is cool when, for personally, I like live recording when it's unofficial, like bootleg. I don't really like official live records. I don't really like, it's not my thing. So that's just like my preference, and then it hasn't happened. I usually like the bootleg.
Yeah, it seems that you still, you know, you still think about it, about how you are going to record it in the studio, because on your last record, Masana Temples, you decided to work with the Portuguese producer Bruno Bernadadas. How did that happen? Why did you decide to work with him, and how did you meet him?
We never met him before. Then I discovered his music, and he has a solo album, and I really liked how he combines different genres.
He had a kind of like
jazz based, but it's kind of like different.
Fusion music, basically, right?
Yeah. And then, but still, like kind of like felt like modern. And I could see like, oh, he might have like, oh, he knows the crowd rock and some jazz and free jazz and indie stuff. So kind of like, just by listening to his music, I could feel like, oh, maybe we would like the same kind of music or something. So we just emailed him asking if he can produce it us. Yeah, and then it just happened. He said, yeah, he can do it, and then we went to Portugal. So we never met.
How was that experience different, that, you know, of working with Bruno? How was that different compared to your previous
very
records?
Cool, because previous records we produced by ourselves, and we still had like a kind of clear image about the sound wise, but just like a songwriting, like arrangement wise, like we wanted to have like third opinion. And then try to have like this jazz element that we don't have, and we don't have time to learn jazz from the beginning. So I thought it's just easier if you work with jazz musician and get that element. You know.
Yeah.
And that was really, really great. I love the experience.
You know, do you and Tomo now still live in Amsterdam, or are you back in Tokyo?
Yeah, we live in Amsterdam.
So now it's a bit more difficult because you used to make
together
your records with jamming. How do the songs happen nowadays?
Now we have like now we tour so much, and so the time we spend is actually more than when we live in Japan. So like the very condensed, but for making music, we just like meet up before the tour and just write and then try to record demos. So we have like some demos, and then also next year we'll take a little break so we can like write. So we'll take like from the try to write a new album and record. So that's like our next plan.
Just a couple more questions. You said how are the things going with your record label, Guru Guru Brain?
Yeah, it's been great. We have more artists and more like followers about the label, and people start understanding what we are trying to do through the label.
Mm-hmm. You're still focused just on Asian bands, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because we need more support for each other, and we don't have this kind of connection that European bands get easily, or not like not easily, but just geographically difficult and financially. So I thought we need to kind of like support each other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I did a show, I won't remember the name now, but there's this American guy of Asian origin, I think he worked for Vice before, and he sort of did a network where he, under his label or this name, he brings the Asian or exposes Asian artists, but more maybe more mainstream artists to the American audience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of that. I know there's like Indonesian artists and Chinese and all kinds.
Is he like a hip hop?
Yeah, yeah, the like hip hop label.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I think I know him. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe this last question. You were already talking about that you like to improvise when you are playing live and stuff. And I remember reading that you said your live shows are quite different to what people can hear on your records. Can you maybe explain a bit more about that? Is it different music-wise, energy-wise, or just...
I think energy is totally different, like definitely different, because it's just live music is, you know, literally live, and then recorded music is literally recorded, so it only happens one time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people come into our show, to see just like the thing that happened only one time, which we cannot recreate.
Yeah.
So that's, and then we also like, you know, focus on that moment and how we can, you know, in the studio recording it's just us in the booth,
right.
But live is just people there and looking at us, you know, come and then that, you know, people's face, example, or how it's, what kind of room we play, it's gonna be definitely influenced by the jam, because we're not decided what we're gonna do. Oh, let's play like this kind of music. So this is a very unexpected, and yeah, it's totally different in the regards.
Are you? I imagine I saw some of the clips of your live performances, live, and it seems, I mean, you kind of at least thematically stay with the songs that you put out on records. Now that you are going to play here or on this tour, are you more focused maybe on the songs from Masana Temples?
Yeah, we play like some new songs and. Yeah, some songs from Masana, but we also play some songs from Forest, Lost Children's House.
Uh-huh.
And every day we change the set list, so we don't know.
Uh-huh.
What exactly are we going to play?
How much time before the concert do you decide what set list you're going to play?
Usually like 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds excellent, so... We will see you here.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for taking the time and see you.
No, thank you so much for arranging. And yeah, hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
V današnjem RŠ intervjuju smo poslušali telefonski pogovor z japonskim bendom Kikagaku Mojo, ki bodo v ljubljanskem kinu Šiška nastopili po jutrišnjem 14. augusta. Oddajo je pripravil Goran Kompuš.
Intervju Radija Študent.